Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
We try not to cringe, but sometimes it happens.
Inevitably.
We usually binge, though.
But I'll tell you, like, the things that make us cringe in life make the binges that much better.
They do. Have you ever seen, and you, Adam in particular, ever seen Adam Ruins Everything?
I don't like the title of it. I did actually see that while I was perusing through Netflix the other day, and I was like, I don't care for this.
It's
what
awesome.
Demographic are you trying to hit? If it's me, you've lost me.
It's another Adam with more hair.
Well, there are more than one of us.
Whatever. There's only one. There can be only one.
I think you're thinking of Highlanders, and even in that case, they had four sequels and a TV show. So, Jane, there was at least two.
I get that.
I think there was more.
So, Adam Ruins Everything is it's kind of like Mythbusters presented in a different way. He takes a subject and presents it in a very easy to swallow and entertaining fashion, as in, oh, I got to make sure the kids see some of these because have someone else tell them this. And for instance, I just watched both seasons in like 2 days.
Chris and I will do that, but it's usually those videos or shows that like where people send in videos of them getting hurt. We'll be like, oh
we love those.
Guys,
yeah.
You got to watch this. This guy's about to get an oar in the head. Yeah. Wait for it.
Falling.
Wait for it. Now.
So it's not just
good
us.
Every time.
I know. It is. So Adam Ruins the Internet is what this one was called. And he's got this, I don't know what you'd want to say, bearded hipster type of guy saying...
That paints a pretty solid picture.
Yes, okay. And he's the character going, well, you know, I don't call them smartphones, I call them dumb phones, because people aren't talking to each other. And so then he brings up all this other stuff, and he says, well, when you first got the telegraph... You had reactions like this when you first got the newspaper. And so then there's comedy, and then he cites either the expert or where this information was found. And he's saying that each time technology brought in something new like this, the reaction was pretty much the same. People are only doing this. And he said, in reality, what they are doing is communicating to each other. And so you have, you know, that woman is writing a report to a colleague in Norway. And then he cuts to another guy and he said, I'm cyberbullying a child. And he says, well, they're not all winners. So as you can see, it's very entertaining. By the way, don't cyberbully anyone or a child. So he explains things like that. He did a great one on the wall and what it would cost to build a wall, and he presented it from...
The Great Wall of China?
No. And he presented it from the point of view of a legal immigrant girl and her family.
John Oliver did a similar report discussing, like, I mean, really just laying it out, going, when you pull from this area, like construction, parts, and all of
this.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah. And made a very good argument.
Billions. And then he said most illegal aliens actually arrived via plane. And a plane can fly over a wall, and then their visas ran out, and they ended up just not going back.
Instead, you know, why don't we fix, the water in Flint, Michigan? Give everybody health care. Or literally any one of those other things.
So he just obviously has a definite point of view, but what I like about the show, whether you agree with it or not, he has valid experts and people from Harvard and Yale and professors at schools
of note.
Yes. And so he presents all of this information, which is very, very interesting. He did one, Adam Ruins Weddings. And it was about how many weddings, not yours, many weddings these days can cost upwards of $30,000.
Good Lord.
I know, which is insanity.
That was not my wedding.
No. And I know, my wedding was certainly under $2,000.
$50,000.
Yes. And he said, you know, women started wearing white in the United States because Queen Victoria in the 1800s wore white. And they said, you know, for most people, women only had one dress, and it sure wasn't white because you couldn't keep it clean.
No.
But to show...
Still can't.
He said the way weddings are presented was to show wealth. And then a whole industry grew up around it. Just to have a white wedding cake showed wealth at the time to get that finely granulated white sugar. It's like, oh. You know, it's just interesting
you
how...
You start breaking it down. It's almost like listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson, like, explain something. Like, you just, you want to pull up a piece of carpet, like, cross your legs and just be like, keep talking.
Yeah. And so he did it with tons of stuff. He does one on hygiene. You know, why do you need that face mask? Why do you need this? Why do you need that? And he says, you know what? You have something to keep you clean that is the most extraordinary thing that not even everyone in the world has. You have access to clean water every day.
Which I guarantee you 99% of the people that are listening to this right now have access to and take it for granted. I take it for granted.
Oh, yeah. And so then he says, you know, how many people do not have indoor plumbing in the world?
Right.
And don't have access to clean water. And so that we and marketing have preyed upon us that we believe, well, I do need this type of shampoo. And then like once a week, I have to switch to this type of shampoo. And then I'm going to need a good sugar scrub and I'm going to need a conditioner. And he said mouthwash, Listerine, used to be used. It was actually created as a surface and floor cleaner.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, it does. So all that was, it's just fascinating, and it is fun the way that it is presented. And
especially when you start breaking down things like you were saying, like wearing the color white. Like, where did that tradition start? Like, most people, like, I've never not had running water. Like, I don't even think about it until, like, a pipe gets clogged or something like that. And I'm just like, oh. But you'll watch, like, say, a movie about the Wild West, and you'll see somebody at a bathhouse where they have to pay somebody to pour them, like, a hot water bath. Like, and I'll think about it sometimes just going, what if I had to drive to town? Like, I had to make it an event like grocery shopping or, oh, I've got to run this to the post. I gotta get this mailed by that time, or I have to like go take care of this. I don't even consider it. It's just like, okay, well, I'm gonna get up in the morning. I'm gonna take a shower. Like,
yeah.
It's part of my
day.
And
that's what I liked about this show, other than the fact that it's simply entertaining. One of the shows is Adam Ruins Animals. And the setup is this girl wants, you know, she's gonna buy a dog. Should she get this kind, or this kind? And he said, well, to be honest, all of your purebred dogs, they tend to have a host of inbred issues. And then he talks about the bulldog. Now, I've met bulldogs. I love bulldogs. However, the bulldog, as it is today, as a standard breed, it's amazing the dogs are alive.
So it's essentially like the aristocracy in like medieval times, the very heavily like inbred.
No, well, no. It's not that they're, well, they could be. Because they, as the experts say, you know, they all came from wolves. But if you want to breed for a specific look and temperament, the gene pool that you can breed from is limited because you're not going to try to make a dog to look like a bulldog and then pull in a collie. So eventually there are redundancies.
I do want to make sure that the headline, Adam Inbreeds Dogs, is as far away from me as can possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I said, there's more than one of us out there. But I don't want people to assume that's something that I do.
No. It is fascinating, because I don't recall what he said specifically, but I think that the specific breeds, it became a thing in England to just create your own type of dog. You know,
it's like a Build-A-Bear.
Yeah, I've bred these dogs to have really pushed-in faces, and I call them this. You know, and so it's interesting how he breaks all that down. Now, I do know there are dogs that were bred to do specific things. I get all that. I'm not knocking that, but it's just interesting the way he gives you more information. And
when you
like
start
I
looking
said,
at the genesis point of things again, that you. you probably hadn't thought of, considered, or knew.
Well, about the bulldog, I met a bulldog who I simply adore. Sounds like it's dying, and it's a breathing issue. It's not dying. But it's because their faces are so smushed, and that's how they're born. Some of them require surgery because they cannot breathe properly. And it's a whole thing with hip dysplasia, this, and the dogs that have a more flattened face, they have a lot of sinus issues, and, well, they can't breathe properly. Can't breathe at all. They're dead.
I mean, if you look at through most of nature and like the shapes of noses, like that's not.
Yeah.
That's not the way a lot of them are.
Precisely. So all that is really very interesting to me. And I think if you watch a lot of these shows as a family, if people have differing opinions, it would just be a nice jumping off point for, I don't know, a conversation.
I think my family would have too much fun watching a show called Adam Ruins Everything.
That's true. I don't
know if they would be able to handle it. They'd be like, oh, dad ruined the macaroni and cheese. Yeah. They'd be like, shut it.
Yeah.
The mouth.
He does one on Adam ruins shopping malls. And I didn't know, I forgot the name of the guy, but some German guy decided that a shopping mall would be kind of like its own community, where you would have a place to gather, you'd have a place for entertainment, you'd have a place for shopping, you have a place for food. And then it developed into, we had so many in the 70s because it was a great way to, I don't know, hide money and so on and so forth.
Okay,
so,
like the different spellings and like how, let's say in England, they initially spelled it with two L's or something, a word mm-hmm. with two P's. A lot of those changed when they came here because of typeface. Mm-hmm. Because you were paying by the letter, people would just spell it with one L or one P. And mm-hmm. eventually that spelling was just the one that was accepted because it was seen so readily and consistently in, say, a newspaper, which, if you don't know what those are like tablets that had information that you had to turn through, like a book.
Like a book. So interesting and very entertaining.
Yeah.
Very entertaining. So I can certainly say that Adam Ruins Everything is worth your time. Now, that is on Netflix. It originally aired on True No E TV, whatever that is. What happens tomorrow on the Hulu is the reboot of Charmed. So,
which I'm sure a
is
lot of
charming.
People are
I'm sure they are.
Excited about.
I was more of a Buffy. I was aware of Charmed. And tomorrow, the Alec Baldwin show. One-on-one conversations.
I would, man, I think I'd pay to be a fly in the wall, like listening to Alec Baldwin have conversations.
And on the Hulu, on the 17th, Nate Fillion in The Rookie.
I don't even need to know what it's about.
Exactly.
Like, I just, you had me at Nathan Fillion.
Yeah. So all that's coming up on the Hulu.
Which, by the way, is generally referred to as just
Hulu. I know. I've been saying the Walmart to the children so much because I find it amusing that now that is simply how they refer to it. And that now I've stopped saying it. It's like,
true without an E.
Yeah.
The Hulu.
Just really funny to me. Kind of twisted. Okay, and I saw something else. That's original. Be careful on Hulu, because sometimes you're going to find something that you think is a new show, new to Hulu. And it might be new to Hulu, but it's an older show, and there are only like 8 episodes. So just make yourself aware before you get into it and go, huh, so that was just dropped? That aired in what, Canada, and I missed it, and then you get attached. Just look ahead. That's all I'm saying.
It's one of the reasons I try to research what I watch as much as I do, just so I don't get hit with a nasty, oh, this is really good. Yeah, well, it was canceled after 4 episodes. It was on ABC in 1997, sorry.
I feel like we're in fall season now, just looking at the Hulu, all this stuff. I have a lot to do this week, but clearly, I need
now
to make some TV
more.
Time.
Yeah.
Serious. Now, your feelings on the cancellation of Iron Fist.
I am not surprised that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I have not gotten to watch all of season 2, but I think it was an improvement over it. But they are very tight-lipped on the budgets of these shows or how much they cost or even how many people are
right.
Are
Netflix
them.
Doesn't say exactly how many watch it.
And I think the fact that Defenders was not critically acclaimed or like just didn't hit the way that they wanted it
to. It was fun.
I liked it, but I think they wanted the Defenders to be Netflix Avengers.
Oh.
Like Avengers, like, I mean, it hit, like, it just started smashing records. Mm-hmm. Like, just when Avengers was in the theater, like, it was an event. Like, you knew that it was an event. Mm-hmm. And Defenders was a show, and I thought it kind of correctly did a lot of things. I liked Sigourney Weaver, like, as the villain.
Yeah.
I thought it justified bringing the four of them together, but it didn't feel like an event.
Justified. What if they brought them together with
Justified?
Yeah.
I've had an idea where they bring a lot of, like, say, any character, like, let's say Nathan Fillion's character in Firefly.
Yeah.
Character from Justified. Like, you start bringing together all these characters that are known for, like, shooting first. Bring in Harrison Ford's Han Solo. Like,
oh, wow.
Like, just let them start solving problems.
Who would be the asking the questions later, though, if they're all to shoot them first?
Well, I think that's the problem you run into with that show.
Oh.
Literally everyone's dead, and every episode is, like, 4 minutes.
Yeah.
They walk into the bar, and they'll just be like, you want to take this one, Captain Reynolds? And they'll be like, no, I think you've got it today, Mr. Solo. Then Raylan, who just got there late, and he's like, well,
okay.
Well, I was going to try. Okay.
It's done.
Everybody's dead. Everyone's dead.
Now, I have not seen the last episode of season 2 of Iron Fist, but I have been told that it was written
with a third season
yes,
in mind.
Yeah. Yes.
I haven't got there,
like,
either, but I have been told if you enjoyed the ending. But I mean, I guess it's not like Marvel Netflix is dead, period.
Correct.
And if you will look at the tweet that the it was the producer, the showrunner. Basically, it doesn't just say, like, it's dead, it's gone, thanks. It refers to him as the immortal Iron Fist and says that, like, no fear, like, the immortal Iron Fist will live on. Like, maybe they're just being coy and referring to the comic book series, but Disney is starting up their own streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix has a lot of properties that, hypothetically, I'm going to say Disney wants.
Well, I guess Iron Fist would be the easiest
to
Disney-fy.
Like, Daredevil and Punisher?
Yeah, no.
They're not, like, if Netflix has them, like, dead to rights as far as the contract, like, I wouldn't give up Daredevil. Daredevil, like, is one of the more critically acclaimed of the shows. Like, I don't know what the ratings are, but I can't imagine that it's one of the lesser watched,
mm-hmm.
like, of them. All the two seasons of Daredevil that I've seen are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, loved him. Iron Fist I watched because it was part of that, and when Defenders came on, I wanted to make sure I was up to date. But I didn't love Iron Fist. If Iron Fist had been the show out of the gate, I probably would have just been like, well... Like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was, I guess, technically the first Marvel TV show, and it's ABC Studios Marvel, not Netflix. Like,
right.
There's
it's
a difference
a
between
different
all
thing.
Of them. And, like, even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, which had a lot of the movie's resources, didn't hook me immediately. Like, it's only taken till recently that I've went, okay, I need to dig back into this. Because read reviews saying the show got a lot better as it went on. They had Ghost Rider in one of the scenes. I'm like...
Okay, I did like it with Ghost Rider.
I'm saying, like, as much as I'm into the Marvel movies, I was just like, I need to give this thing another shot.
So have you caught yourself back
I am
up?
In the middle of season 2 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, so
and, like, the improvement from season 1 to season 2 is noticeable.
And how many seasons are there? Because I've seen all
I believe
of them.
6 right now, and they are going to go into 7 after... There, because of the events of Infinity War... They did not go into it like in the regular fall season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it picks up this spring, possibly to avoid like any
issues
with Infinity. Because like lots of, like, you can ignore some of the events of the Marvel movies. Like, they directly tied into Winter Soldier on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But, like, stuff that happens in Ant-Man or this, that, either, you can ignore that. When you have an event like what happens in Infinity War, you can't ignore that one. Mm-hmm. And as a television show, either you completely embrace that wholeheartedly, or, like I said, maybe it takes place after everything's fixed. Maybe it takes place after nothing gets fixed, and this is the world that they're living. But you can't really show what happens without, I guess, stealing some of Avengers 4, whatever it ends up being called, thunder. So maybe that's why. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like I said, is a show that I found is an improvement over that, and I've been told that it only gets better as it goes on. So
yeah, they have an interesting storyline that I'm just going to say is Matrix-esque, in that they're all having an alternative story, but their bodies are just hanging out. But there's an alternative whole lifetime going on, and that is like the bulk of a season. They have another season where they're Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in space.
I've really tried to avoid getting too much of a deep dive before I get into it, because I do like to be surprised. And granted, I could have just solved all of that by watching it first run, but I didn't, and now I am, and I'm fighting going to like the Wikipedia page or like the message boards, because like when Lost was on, I wanted to figure it out. Like, and I was going to all that stuff because nobody knew anything more than I did.
Right.
But now I know definitively, people definitely know more than I do about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The Netflix shows I'm pretty well caught up on. But like I said, as far as Iron Fist not returning, I don't think anybody's surprised that if one was going to get the axe, it was Iron Fist. But I'm not sure if it's gone.
Right. Or at least he isn't the actor as Iron Fist.
Well, I mean, they could have canceled Iron Fist because very famously in the comic books, you had Heroes for Hire, where Luke Cage and Iron Fist started their own kind of mercenary group. They were heroes. I don't think I'm bearing the lead on this.
And
for hire.
You could hire them.
Yes. For
because they're heroes.
And they were heroes. Yeah.
Because that's what heroes do.
I'm saying,
do.
Like, it is because they also haven't confirmed Luke Cage season 3. If they don't confirm that, maybe it's a Heroes for Hire show. Or, like I said, maybe it's migrating over to Disney service. Because if they're going to give up any of them, that's the one I would see them giving up. And there's been no talk of a Defender season 2, so that may not be a thing. And if it isn't, why do you need Iron Fist there? Or maybe Disney wants Heroes for Hire. I don't know. Like, it was not definitive in the way that you see a lot of like cancellations. Like, nobody was like, we will find another home for this. We'll see if Hulu wants it. We'll see if ABC wants it. Like, it was just the way that they were just like, okay, yeah, well, the Mortal Iron Fist. All right, see ya, peace. Like, it.
Peace out.
There's, like I said, maybe I'm just reading into it because I am. Or maybe, like I said, there's another avenue that they already have in place, because the Marvel brand is enough so that, like, you can kind of mess around with stuff a little, and the name Marvel being on a property, like, it doesn't guarantee that you're a success. But, I mean, you have Marvel's Runaways. I'm sure, or well, I'm not sure, like, you've got Gifted, which is on Fox right now, which is technically a Marvel show, but it's in... It's 20th Century Fox X-Men Universe Marvel. Do they fold that in? Gifted, the first season was fantastic.
Like, I haven't watched that yet. It is on the Hulu.
It's about to drop the second season. But like, if you dig like the 20th Century X-Men Universe, or 20th Century Fox X-Men, I don't know what to call that exactly. If you like it, it's entertaining. The kids actually watched it with me. Like, it was enough that like we were kind of steamrolling through those episodes.
Cool. So there's that, and just a whole lot of stuff. Now, things you can get up to date on if maybe you hadn't had time before because you like take care of stuff, unlike me. The Good Place is very entertaining, and I thought it was going to get canceled because usually if I like a show and it's different, it gets canceled, like Pushing Daisies.
That's only if it's on Fox. If you like things and it's on Fox, they will cancel it.
Yeah, well. By the way, Pushing Daisies.
Crap,
really love
I like
it.
Gifted. Son of a...
you just...
Get, oh.
You did it. The Good Place is an interesting premise. It is a comedy. And... you have this slouch of a girl who dies in a freak accident. And she wakes up and she's told she's in the good place because there's the good place and there's the bad place. And she's in the good place. And in the good
like,
place.
Like being a good witch or a bad witch?
Yes, and in the good place.
Only wicked witches
are
ugly.
Her handler is Cheers guy. Ted Danson. It's like, I was... I almost said several names that were other leading men, but incorrect. Anyway, yeah, Ted Danson looking very dapper. And the problem is she knows that she's not everything that they said. And then she finds out that the other people are not everything that they said. And so comedy ensues is really all I can say.
Ted Danson looks to me like he hasn't aged particularly. He just looks like a poster you let sit in the sun too long. Like, yes. A lot of his color is not there, like, say it was at, I don't know, season 10 of Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his hair is whiter, but, like, take away that stuff, Ted Danson still looks pretty much like Ted Danson did.
Oh, yeah.
In the 1990s.
Yeah, it's so bizarre.
Or maybe he started dyeing his hair white so people could tell that he aged.
And he's gotten funnier.
And Cheers, like, if, again, if you guys haven't watched Cheers.
Norm!
I know that it is, let's say, it went off the air, what, in early 90s? So it's been off for almost 20 years at this point. And its syndication is
you
not.
You can find it. I'm saying
it's not as heavily syndicated as it once was. Seek it out.
Cheers is a gold mine. And I showed the girls just a few minutes of Cheers earlier today, and I said, do you know that voice? See the mailman there? Listen to him talk. You've heard him on every Pixar film you've ever seen. That guy.
I do think it's interesting that Frasier spun out of Cheers, and mm-hmm. like, Cheers is almost like your the proto Friends. Like, they're hanging out. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not lowbrow humor, but like, I mean, it's funny. Like, Cheers is a solid, funny show.
Yes.
Frasier is not about a bunch of friends, like, hanging out. Like, it's a trio. Mm-hmm. And occasionally you'll get, like, some other characters interspersing in there. But it's about Niles, Frasier, and their father.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's very highbrow. Like, if you're not paying attention, some of those jokes may go over your head. Like, they're not afraid to tell, like, a joke that only three people get.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I loved about it.
Like, and the fact that, like, it is spun directly, like, out of that. You would think a show that was spun out of Cheers might have had more of its DNA in there. But Frasier mm-hmm. is very much, maybe that's the reason why it had the success that it did.
Yeah, because it was, well, when Frasier first walked into the bar, he was so drastically different from everyone, which made him delightful.
Yeah.
And then when Lilith was, Cheers I mean, is a wonderful ensemble.
It's not like he was only in a small part, because he was on there for, what, 7-8 years of their run? What is it, season 3, 4 he shows up?
And he's on The Simpsons, you know?
Yeah. Like, if Matt Groening has decided that you need to guest star in, let's say, like, 27, 20, 29 of the seasons the show's been on, because if he doesn't appear as SciShow Bob, mm-hmm. he's usually a voice.
Yeah.
Or something else,
and,
like, in there.
His latest animation thing is he's the guy, it's like Six Eyes on Trollhunters.
Yeah.
So, have your kids just listen to Cheers. They'll recognize the voices.
One of the few things that was worth watching in X-Men 3 was Kelsey Grammer as Beast. Like, X-Men 3 doesn't have a whole lot of stuff that I go, I need to revisit that. But Kelsey Grammer as the Beast was one of the parts of the movie mm-hmm. that was a highlight. Killing Patrick Stewart? Not. Cyclops dying? Not. Brett Ratner's direction? Not.
You know, I don't think I've even seen it.
Don't.
Or if I did, I have erased all memory of it.
It was enough so after First Class, when they did X-Men Days of Future Past, mm-hmm. X-Men Days of Future Past, besides being like a fun action-packed science fiction movie, more or less set out to erase X-Men 3.
Okay, it was
like X-Men Origins Wolverine and X-Men 3 never happened. We're going to do a movie that's purpose is to take those two out of the timeline.
Interesting. Well, it worked for me.
Yeah. Don't revisit X-Men 3. Like,
okay.
Just go on YouTube, type in Kelsey Grammer as Beast, like, let it sum that up for you in 8 minutes, and you don't have to wonder where the time went when you have that 2 hours you can't get back.
I would rather just watch Kelsey Grammer singing all of the Broadway show tunes from The Simpsons.
The bit where he does HMS Pinafore.
That's exactly what
Bart.
I was thinking of.
Oh, my goodness. A British tar is a... Oh. It's
delightful.
And then he's like, oh, you tricked me. And like, tricked him into singing the entirety of a musical to stall him so the cop. Oh, it's.
And the musical is HMS Pinafore. Just, it's beautifully done.
It is. It's the best Sideshow Bob episode. And if it's not my favorite episode of The Simpsons, like, it's in the top three.
Mm-hmm.
I think Radioactive Man, like the.
Oh, yeah.
Zagoggle, Zedona, that. That's probably my favorite episode, but I think because it's got the rakes.
Yeah.
It's all. Who wants to drive through that field full of cactus? I do. Not me. Huh? Well, I do. And he even says the number, and it's off, like, by one as to who all is in the family. Yet, but it's Homer, so we accept that.
And I just want to point out, this makes sense to us because Kelsey Grammer was in Cheers, and that's what we were talking about. It Cheers is binge-worthy. The Simpsons is binge-worthy. And just YouTubing Kelsey Grammer on anything and just watching clumps of Kelsey Grammer is worth binging on.
Like, the fact that... Well, I mean, they're trying to bring Frasier back right now. Like, kind of doing the... similar to the Roseanne... Is it the revival? Is that what we're calling them?
They're calling them reboots. Fran Drescher now wants to reboot The Nanny with Cardi B
as her daughter. Currently, like, back on the air. Like, I'm just
Magnum P.I.'s back.
Well, yeah, but that's not with Tom Selleck. That actually is a reboot. I'm saying, like, they are wanting to go back with they want Kelsey Grammer. The father obviously can't show up there. Mm-hmm. But they want everyone, like, back that is willing to participate. They want to do another like 10, 11 episode, whatever run of Frasier on NBC. They're trying to do the same thing with The Office. Like, there's a lot of interest in revisiting these properties in smaller doses.
I wonder, is it because they were so good and we want that back? Or is it because no one's writing anything fresh? Or because we'll watch just 10 episodes now and be done with it.
Keep in mind the kind of your template for how things were made back then. And keep in mind how much competition there was not in, let's say, 1990. The money, as far as advertising, has dwindled significantly on networks because there's not just one place to watch anymore.
Mm-hmm.
With the smaller amount of money coming into the networks, you can only develop X amount of shows. And of those shows, like, unless you're, and I use it simply because of its ratings potential, Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't spend the amount of money that was spent on sitcoms in the early 90s on sitcoms now.
Right.
Just because you're not getting the same return on that, you can't put the amount of talent on it, and I'm sure that is trickling down to either the writers, directors, producers, whomever. You're probably not getting as much top-tier talent on those things. Like, back in the day, like, if you were on Frasier and, like, you wanted to be a sitcom writer, like, that's one of the places you wanted to be. And I guarantee you that they probably paid really well, especially compared to now. I think you had a lot more money to put into those situations, and you could take a chance. Like, I guarantee you, if you will look at the sitcoms in 1991 that were being put onto air versus 2018, that number is drastically different. Just again, because if the advertising dollars are not coming in, the networks are not going to spend more money to make less. It just does. It doesn't make
Which
financial
brings
sense.
Brings me to this: Netflix is showing some. It's a serial documentary on the 80s and the 90s. There's probably others, but I've only seen the 80s and the 90s, produced by Tom Hanks, and it's just that. It's, for instance, the 80s. The very first episode starts out with, in the 80s, most people were watching TV on only three channels.
Yeah. And it, I mean, it makes a huge
yes.
difference. And much in the same way that, like, okay, I know that we do it a lot. The Marvel Universe movies, especially the sequels.
Mm-hmm.
Sequels have a built-in audience, at least that first weekend. And if you can make a good movie, then they're going to come in the ensuing weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Kelsey Grammer, like, because of the 21 years he spent playing Frasier Crane, he's a big deal on a network. Like, and even the fact that, like, see, when did they go off? 2004?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's even been 14 years beyond that, like, him being on the small screen is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, at the very least, comes with a huge audience for that first episode. Now, if you can make a quality show, get them to stick around for 10 episodes, like, however you feel about what happened with the Roseanne revival, those numbers were huge for ABC. Like, people liked that show when it was on, and when they brought it back, and they did so in a way that I watched the episodes.
I watched one or two episodes.
It was, I mean, if you liked Roseanne back in the day, it was very much Roseanne, but like taking place in 2018. If you can have almost that guaranteed eyeball, like for that first episode, and you can maintain the quality, and most of them are bringing back writers, producers, actors that were there at the heyday of these particular things. Television is not, Thursday night is no longer like a guaranteed ratings powerhouse. Like for you. You've got to have something that puts the bodies in front of the TVs. And these people that are legends or icons or whatever you want to call, like if Bob Newhart wanted to do a new show, I guarantee you, they'd just be like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You want to revisit what? Yes. Yes, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you could unravel like some little bits of the Mary Tyler Moore show that would be unable to participate.
Say Bill Cosby. No.
Well, I'll tell you, 3 years ago, yes.
Yes.
Seeing a return to Cosby, like, I guarantee you NBC would have jumped all over that.
What if it was a return to, it would be like Cosby behind bars, and it was
I think it's a lot harder for him to teach the kids life lessons.
I see.
If Cliff Huxtable is jailed.
Like, all right, I see that.
For any reason. And I mean, honestly, after that happened in the Cosby, like the DVD set for the whole show went down to like $20. If that tells you anything, like, yeah.
I hate it when stuff I love is tainted.
And I'm like, I will like Bill Cosby now, like it has pretty much, he is in the same category career wise as Kevin Spacey. I mean, these are just, in all likelihood, they are never going to work again. Harvey Weinstein will never have his own production company.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he produces a string of like, I don't know, like independent films. Maybe. Mm-hmm. At best.
Maybe he and Roman Polanski could open something up.
Oh, man, that's... that is some...
They could have their own film studio. They could...
In France, and they need to keep it out of the...
And they could hire... funny, not funny.
Well, I mean, it's just... The thing about, I think, what makes the Cosby thing so much more difficult is the fact, like, Cliff Huxtable was, I mean, he was the quintessential dad. He was wholesome. Like, he was good.
And from one of the documentaries I was just watching, they said, you had a lot of sitcoms with African-American families, and they were all struggling. But the fact that this was an upper middle class family.
One of them's a doctor.
And
like,
that was on TV.
A lawyer, like.
And that was what was important about it. To show African-Americans not struggling.
And like it wasn't like he wasn't
and
doing
it was so funny.
He wasn't doing like the terrible stereotypes that they wanted to
right.
affix to African Americans at that point. Like I said, he was a very you had a successful doctor, a successful lawyer. Like he was a good father. Like he was making mm-hmm. sure that like and like you said, the show was just so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was an exceptional show. Like however you feel about what Cosby has done now, which like I said, you're probably. Right about however you
oh,
feel
yeah.
about it. I'm not defending, but I'm saying like if you go back and look at the Cosby Show, like it, anything you ever watched on Thursday night television, it is one of the shows that helped make must-see TV a reality. Mm-hmm. Like Friends, Seinfeld, like any of those, like it put Thursday night NBC back on the map.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was extraordinary for everything that it did.
See, The Office.
Which just really bums me.
Yeah. And like I said, you can't, it's permanently tainted now.
I could go on and tell you all of the extraordinary things Cosby did in television, because I know far too much about it. And yeah, no, I'm just not going to.
And it's just,
it's
it erases all of that. Like, decades worth of accomplishments. And
yeah.
like I said, none of them matter anymore.
Now I'm really bummed. But hey, he's in jail, and maybe OJ can visit him, and they can share tips or something. I don't know.
Uncle OJ shows up on the Cosby.
I don't. Funny, not funny. Yeah, there's nothing funny about it. But why were we talking about that? I don't know.
I want to say something about NBC.
Yes, and must see.
Networks.
Yes.
Networks and advertising dollars.
Yes. Yes. If all this nastiness had not, if he hadn't done it in the first place, yes, I think a Cosby reboot, people would be all over that.
Like I said, go back in time 4 years, they put that proposal to NBC or NBC asked them about that. That is something people would have tuned into.
Or go back in time 40 years and go and say, hey, don't be this creepy guy.
Jeez, Bill. Like,
yeah. And then 40 years from now, we'll reboot one of your most successful shows. So just don't be a disgusting predator. That's
like
all.
Don't be a nasty human being to the point that it makes me want to throw up when I say your name.
That's right.
Do that.
And, you know, I can't even eat a Jell-O pudding pop. Do they still make those? I don't know.
I don't think so, but I guarantee you it's much like whenever...
it will never be made again.
I guarantee a Subway is never going to mention Jared in another uh-huh. ad again. Like,
Who saw that coming?
listen,
you never would have thought of that.
O.J. Simpson was one of the front runners to play the Terminator in James Cameron's Terminator.
Really?
The reason why James Cameron decided not to go with him is because he didn't think anyone would believe O.J. Simpson could kill someone.
With a gun?
He didn't go into detail about any of that, but I'm just saying, like, the thing with Jared, I don't think Subway ever saw that gun. Nobody saw the Cosby thing. Like, the OJ thing. Like, to the point that, like, before, like, that became common knowledge, mm-hmm. like, if you would have proposed that to somebody or just told them what was eventually going to happen, you'd just be like, no.
Nah.
That's the what happened with the father from Seventh Heaven.
Oh, yeah, Stephen Collins.
Yeah.
In the first Star Trek movie. I know.
That completely taints that show. Who knew at the end of the day Al Bundy was going to be the one that we could count on?
Precisely. To the point where sometimes, to entertain myself, I make a list of people I would never, ever believe something awful about and go, hope it's not them next. Not that I want them. Well, you know what I mean. I want them to have never been awful. That's what I'm trying
speaking,
to say.
Speaking of shows, I would see them, watch them revisit. Married with Children. let him get back with Peg. Like,
yeah.
And I mean, like, Christina Applegate and David Faustino aren't doing it. Like, seriously, give me a 6-episode
run. Faustino runs a highly successful fantasy football website and something.
That, sure.
Okay.
But you're telling me if they were like, hey, do you want to be on Fox for 6 episodes
okay.
this fall? I guarantee you he's going to say yes.
Yeah, I would.
And like, Katie Sagal, like, is pretty much entertaining. Where put her in Sons of Anarchy, put her in Futurama. Like, she's great everywhere.
By the way, you'll find this amusing. the first year Sons of Anarchy was out, I wasn't watching it and I wasn't really paying attention. And I didn't know who was in it. I just knew something existed and I knew what it was about. And it was really very peripheral to me.
Right.
Probably because the children were younger and sucking the life out of me.
Probably not something they needed to watch either.
Yeah. And I thought it was a documentary.
Until you saw Katie Sagal.
And it's like, what exactly? Katie Sagal is in this documentary about bikers?
I didn't know she likes. does she ride bikes in real life? What is this about? Oh my, what is she selling?
It's like, oh, it's a show. Okay.
Well, it is shot very much with that kind of the over the shoulder kind of steady cam kind of look. Okay. I hadn't actually watched it.
I just was aware something existed, and there's this.
And you knew that.
It's about bikers.
That Peg Bundy was there.
Later I did, and that was my first clue that maybe what I thought was a documentary was not.
May not be.
Yes. So there you have it. There are lots of things that you can binge on. Let's start with Adam Ruins Everything. But not this, Adam.
No, I don't make everything perfect either. But I don't ruin everything. That's
no.
all I'm saying.
And then let's move on to, we've mentioned so many shows.
Let's say Iron Fist. That seems like it was in there.
It was. And let's say we have lots coming new this week that will be completely new, as in Alec Baldwin's show. Another show I've already forgotten that I said we wanted to see, and many people want to see the Charmed reboot that starts.
Daredevil season 3.
Daredevil season 3. That's
right.
Which
we will be covering that.
Oh, like, yeah.
That's...
That goes without saying.
Unless that thing just, like, goes off the rails on the third one. Like, I can't imagine that Daredevil season 3 will not be just exceptional television.
So, the fine actor that plays Daredevil, on set... wears the same thing all of the time in his real life persona. I know this because a friend of mine has worked with him, and her friend worked on the set of Daredevil, and they both happen to...
He dresses as the devil from Hell's Kitchen when
not... No, it's just a gray shirt and jeans. It's like the same shirt and jeans, and it's maybe his version of Steve Jobs, but the girls compared photos. It's like... Huh.
I really
he
like
wore that every
that
day.
He just dresses as Daredevil even when he's not.
Yeah, that would be funny. Like, I'll just go with that.
It's like when Michael Keaton showed up to any, let's say to Multiplicity. Like when he showed up the premiere to that, he just dressed as Batman. They're like, Mike, is that Calvin Klein?
No,
that's my costume from Batman. The 1989 film that is that you're. Why are you wearing
it? Because why not wear it again?
It is comfortable.
It looks great.
It was sculpted to my physique.
And it's got a utility belt that can't be beat.
Literally has anything that I need at any point, guys.
You know, you would think utility belts like that would take off for more people other than, you know, utility construction workers. Because it is useful.
You're talking about any time like I needed some shark repellent bat spray?
Yes.
Or like any like something that makes me breathe underwater?
Yes, and gum.
An anti poison pill, like any of that.
On your belt. Put it on a belt.
Coming from me, this probably is going to come somewhat hypocritical. He can't really have all that stuff realistically in his belt. Like...
But he could have, I don't know,
I'm just saying,
a bag of M&Ms.
It's got a lot. Yeah, but that's not going to help you fight the penguin, Jane.
If you throw it on the floor.
Unless the penguin has diabetes, like, that's not going to help you.
Who knows?
I don't think that's going to be how he takes him down. Like,
you know, they took down
in
Capone
the follow-up
with
to
the
Batman
Texas.
Versus Superman. Like, I don't think they're just going to be like, this is how we take the penguin down.
Diabetes.
Look at him. He obviously has it. Here, Pingy, have some M&Ms.
Yes.
Like, and they hold the insulin hostage. No, I don't. Listen, I know that all stories are just being told again, but I can't see that, like...
I would watch it.
I don't know, whatever. I guess if Martha can be a major plot point, like...
I just think a utility belt that looked like Batman's utility belt with stuff in it should catch on, because it's functional.
Keep in mind, he's a billionaire.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Buh. Buh-buh-buh-billionaire.
And I want to throw this in here. It is projected that Americans will spend $9 billion on Halloween this year. $9 billion.
I totally believe that.
Which is still a lot. $9 billion.
And my wife would do every bit of that if I would let her.
Okay.
But I do have to stop in and just be like, well, we need that for 4 months of rent. We can't spend that on Halloween, Derek.
Billion.
We just can't.
Okay. And my girls are after me. Why aren't we decorating? It's like, I put a wreath up or something. You know, we live on a dead end. And what do you want me to do? Who are we decorating for? Us? I don't care that much anymore. You've drained me.
Here. You just put like a pumpkin out.
I do Christmas. Isn't that enough?
Can we not just make it a yearly event? Why does it have to be bi-yearly?
Anyway, we could go on about other things that are, believe me, very entertaining, but we're just going to do that privately or just start a different podcast so we can do it there.
That's probably the best idea.
Yeah, I think so. So enjoy your binging. I know next week is going to be super fantastic because we have a lot to watch this week that we're excited about. Adam ruins everything, but not this one. Thank you for listening to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens, the one that doesn't ruin everything.
Ever.